I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague Noel is not here today, but will be rejoining us soon.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week. This is, full disclosure, the birthday era for Matt Noel and yours truly. So we are excited, as always, to bring you more strange news. Now, as I say more and more often in these, our interesting times, it's tough for us to find just one story each to focus on. So today, Matt, you and I are going to bring a couple of different stories, and then we're going to kind of pause halfway through, and we're going to talk about some wild stories, which for one reason or another caught our interest, fellow conspiracy realists. We hope they catch your interest as well. We're going to talk in a weird way about rom-coms at the very end. We're going to talk about activities of the earth that can only be described as disaster-style blockbuster MacGuffins. We're going to talk about how chicken is weirdly slightly safer, I guess. Witches are getting forgiven. But first, Matt, we have to talk about Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to. Alex Jones has been going through trials and tribulations, I think, as maybe he would put it, for quite a while now regarding his, let's call it, reporting of the Sandy Hook shooting. And we've been talking about that for a while in this show, and we've also been following his trials. Mm-hmm. I think, is that correct to say? I don't know if it's trial or trials.
Yes, it is a series of trials. There are actually three cases against Alex Jones over his claims about the Sandy Hook massacre, the Sandy Hook attack. The Sandy Hook event
unfortunately has become a casualty of mainstream media's need to make everything a catchphrase. So it's quite possible there are people who have just heard the phrase Sandy Hook, right? And maybe think of a nearby national park or just the town of Sandy Hook, Connecticut. But make no mistake, it refers to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting from mid-December, December 14th, 2012. And in the wake of this massive tragedy, Jones garnered quite a bit of controversy by increasingly implying and making claims that this was some sort of conspiracy, that Sandy Hook, like this, the children at this elementary school either did not get murdered or that there was some larger incident at play. This was, of course, terrifying and cruel for the survivors, the people who had lost six-year-old children, you know, in senseless violence. And as the echo chamber continued and people just sort of added on to stories without checking their facts, the parents in particular of these children started receiving death threats. They started being harassed. And they have made the case that this is due to Alex Jones pouring gas on the fire of speculation in an offensively speculative way, without checking sources, without looking at anything that didn't confirm his pre-existing beliefs or conclusions. So he has a media company called Free Speech Systems. What do we say about innocuous names? And he has just recently, just today as we record, in one of these trials, he has said that he understands now it was irresponsible of him to call the massacre of these, again, children at an elementary school, to call this massacre a hoax. The particular line that's being quoted a lot is Alex Jones saying, especially since I've met the parents, it's 100% real. And this is a trial. Like, he already lost one trial. He lost one civil suit because he just didn't show up, basically. Mm-hmm. And this trial is to determine how much he and that media company, Free Speech Systems, owe for defaming the parents of one of the children, Jesse Lewis, who was one of 26 people murdered in Connecticut in 2012, 20 students and 6 educators. So this is and remains the deadliest school shooting in all of American history. I'm a little torn here, Matt. I think it's important to have consequences for this kind of behavior, but here's what I'm torn. I don't think an apology quite suffices at this point.
No, it probably doesn't when it comes to the personal anguish of family members, right, of victims. Before we get into that, Ben, I just want to go back to my mind in 2012 when, immediately following the shooting, when there was a ton of coverage there locally, you know, near the school of Sandy Hook, like literally on the day that it occurred and the following weeks. I recall feeling strangeness about some of the media that was put out at the time. And I actually did watch, I remember watching some of Alex Jones' coverage of the incident. I remember watching other coverage of the incident, interviews with people involved, law enforcement, I believe a medical examiner that I recall being interviewed. And some strangeness and all of the discussion of crisis actors. I remember, Ben, when we did our video on crisis actors, on what those actually are, the function that they provide for government and private entities, mm-hmm. right? The crisis actors who actually will go to essentially a live training session and pretend to be victims of things like shootings.
Which is a real thing, to be clear, but mm-hmm. usually occurs in clearly clearly understood training grounds, especially there are a couple in Louisiana I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just taking my, when I take my mind back there, it, to me, and I wonder how you feel about this, feels like that instance where there's not a lot of transparency in the investigation because it is an active investigation. And that's going to be the environment of information anytime there is breaking news like this, when there's a tragedy or a big event, a shooting, whatever it's whatever it is, there's not going to be a ton of specific information released by authorities, right? Because they have to keep that information close to their chest in order to actively investigate this thing. If everybody knew all the information, then they couldn't catch the person, or they couldn't get all the facts out, because it would, a hearsay would run rampant. But what ends up happening now, because of the internet and everyone can have an opinion and state that opinion immediately, that hearsay, that speculation just blossoms and goes everywhere. And I guess the question, Ben, that I have to you is, like, did you feel weird about Sandy Hook ever? Because I remember feeling weird about it. And then only upon really studying it and researching it and looking at it, as you were describing, did I not change my mind, but solidify the way I felt about it and what I thought occurred.
Yeah. So then the question is the initial reactions that I personally had. Yeah. So one, totally. It's beyond fog of war. It's its own kind of fog. In an active investigation, you can't, especially if you're looking for a perpetrator who's out in the field, you have to be very careful about what sort of information you disclose to the public. This is only compounded and exacerbated in the world of constant contact with mm-hmm. news sources, right? And this, to answer directly, I went in a different direction, larger implications. What does this mean? I was thinking this is, again, proof that nothing happens in a vacuum. The burden of proof for a conspiracy such as the one that Alex Jones was describing is enormously high. That threshold is incredibly high, and it becomes actually more and more difficult to perpetrate something like that in a world where multiple voices have multiple global platforms, right? He did say, Jones, that is, that the shooting was, quote, a giant hoax. And his original statements said that this was a fake massacre perpetrated by people who were enemies of the Second Amendment. For any non-U.S. residents, the Second Amendment guarantees the right to bear arms, firearms, basically. And so he turned it into a kind of hackneyed, they're coming to take your guns argument. And it wasn't until multiple families sued him that he began to change his tune, which also means, I would say, it's fair to ask whether he has a financial motivation for doing so, because per his own words in an earlier court case, he is a performer. This means that the statements then logically made on his show or on his properties can be taken as statements made for entertainment, you know, just like in WWE, as messed up as it is to compare, it's true. He was originally, back in 2018, he was sued for defamation by three parents whose children were murdered at Sandy Hook. And then later that year, May 23rd, six more families in total sued him. He was found in contempt of court in Texas because we said he failed to show up, present witnesses or materials. Then he got fined $126,000 in 2019. And that's not enough, you know, to really break the bank of an empire like that. In October of last year, almost a year ago now, he was ordered to pay damages, and the judge also noted that Alex Jones was not complying with the demands of the court. He declared bankruptcy in April of this year and said it was a result of the defamation lawsuits. This continues now. So what's happening now, what finally got him to admit the events in December 2012 at Sandy Hook actually occurred, was the suits determining damage. The current trial he's in, or the current defamation case, they're seeking $150 million in compensation. This began on July 25th of this year. The idea is $150 million for court costs, but also for emotional damage, not just to them, but the argument of Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis is that their lives were also threatened by people who were just kind of bubbled in this information and took it as gospel.
Well, they were portrayed as part of the conspiracy, direct parts right. of the conspiracy. All of the parents, right? All of the people who appeared on camera during press conferences, the message was very negative against them. And if you aligned with that, you know, with Alex Jones' message, and if you felt a certain way or you're willing to take actions, then yeah, those people's lives were in danger.
Yeah. And this is, I want to go to some stuff from this court case so you get a sense, folks, fellow conspiracy realists, of what we mean when we say death threats. Over at CNET.com, you can read this on Associated Press, any number of places. There are clips, and these were played in court. People were sending voicemails to parents in the wake of their children's death, saying things like, "You're going to die. Death is coming to you real soon." One man was actually jailed for approaching the sister of a teacher who died at Sandy Hook and haranguing her and saying, you know, your sister never existed. This Sandy Hook thing never took place. You are complicit in this conspiracy, right? And people are attesting to how they were abused, not just online, but on the street, walking in their day-to-day, and how they legitimately feared, not just for their emotional well-being, but for their physical safety. And this means that it is not a matter simply of people saying bad things about you on the internet. This is a matter of someone saying that they are going to come to your house, or wherever they can find you, and attack you. Jones previously defended himself by saying, look, I never actually incited violence, which is a little bit, I don't know if that's an argument that really holds up. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have transcripts of exactly what he said, right? So I don't know right here in this moment if he said anything that I would consider personally to be inciting violence. But, you know, when it comes to using certain language that I've heard Alex Jones use in the past, again, I don't know if he used it with regard to these parents or anybody involved with Sandy Hook, but things like vile and like evil and, you know, calling someone or something that, when you have a lot of devoted followers and fans, you make an enemy of something, right? Mm-hmm. And people who, like, identify with you and care about you a lot, and you're that big of a personality and persona online, I think it is dangerous.
Well, I agree with you, Matt. Let me give you some quotes from the trial. First, my question about whether it's the compensation aspect that provided this seemingly revelatory change of heart. Jones said that any compensation above $2 million, quote, will sink us, and then said, quote, I think it's appropriate for whatever you decide what you want to do. I guess he's saying this will be the end of his company, but he understands what's at stake here. He did say that he was absolutely irresponsible, but he added, they, meaning the media, won't let me take it back. He complains that he's been, quote, typecast as someone that runs around talking about Sandy Hook, makes money off Sandy Hook, is obsessed with Sandy Hook. Now, that is a direct quote from Alex Jones.
I mean, he's not, right? It's not just Sandy Hook. I mean, that's a true statement in my mind. Mm. He's obsessed with a whole bunch of different things. I mean, I don't even know how many thousands of hours he's probably logged on a, you know, on the radio and on his shows where he's talking about all kinds of different things. But, it's definitely something that stuck out. It's a moment in time where I have a very clear picture of Alex Jones and the Sandy Hook shooting. And they're inextricably linked in my mind.
Yeah. And we can go into the weeds if this is a future episode. But for right now, you know, many, many people asked us about Sandy Hook when back in 2012, we received many questions about this. And one of the things that we do have to point out, as cliche as it is follow the money. We said we would have updates on this, and we do, which is that Alex Jones appears to say that now he understands that tragedy was real, that there were no crisis actors involved, that this was not some sort of Rube Goldberg-esque scheme to abolish the Second Amendment. But we want to hear from you. Do you think Jones truly had a change of heart? Do you think there is a financial motivation for this? Would you like an episode where we dive into all things Alex Jones?
One last thing, just want to say here, and I hope I haven't been devil's advocating too much as I turn that into a verb. I'm imagining a scenario where there was a massive conspiracy that is not, in this case, it's not related to Sandy Hook whatsoever, right? It's just there's some massive conspiracy and a well-known personality finds out the truth about it and begins speaking about it all the time and shouting it from the rooftops. I'm imagining if there was a scenario where the powers that carried out that conspiracy were able to, a good way to silence that person and to make that message, whatever the truth was that person was saying, go away, would be to get that person to publicly admit that he was wrong and there is no conspiracy.
True.
Just say, I know that's, I know, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm just saying that would be a pretty good way to go about it.
Yeah. Well, let me add on one last thing before we go here. In this trial, which is taking place today as we record August 3rd, one of the lawyers for the parents showed a video of Alex Jones telling viewers on InfoWars that the jury in this defamation case was full of people who don't know what planet they're on. So the new conspiracy, Matt, is that the defamation trial is itself rigged.
Or on another planet.
Or on another planet. So let us know what you think, folks. Let us know if you would like to hear a deep dive on this as an episode. In the meantime, we are going to pause for word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with a roundup of very strange news.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
And we've returned. So that previous story is heavy, but we hope you agree important. We wanted to maybe just take a quick palate cleanser with a little bit of good news. Matt, as you know, Massachusetts has done it. They have granted absolution to their last remaining witch.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Congratulations, whoever you are, you old so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Johnson in 1693, one of 30 people convicted as part of the Salem, surrounding area of Salem witch trials. And she was, until quite recently, the only person who had not been exonerated of devil worship. So, Miss Johnson, it took 329 years. But if you are out there, furthermore, if you tune into podcasts, furthermore, if you tune into Stuff They Don't Want You to Know's Strange News segment, we wanted to say congratulations. That's what we're reaching for, good news. So good on you, Massachusetts. Now, look, it's not as if, just to be absolutely fair, it's not as if the state of Massachusetts had a pang of conscience. Matt, we owe all of this to an eighth grade teacher in Massachusetts, Carrie LaPierre.
You get your props, Carrie LaPierre. It's a really great idea to teach about these witch trials that occurred in what was then Salem in Massachusetts, as you mentioned there, Ben. Now it's a couple different different places. But she decided to actually, as part of a class and part of teaching on these trials, to engage the local government there in Massachusetts. And I believe a senator even? Is that true? Yeah, a senator, Diana DiZoglio, and got some movement to make this thing happen. Wow. Mm-hmm. Super cool. See, teachers are awesome, y'all. We say it all the time on this show. Teachers are super awesome. Make sure you appreciate each and every one.
Yes. Yep. As we said earlier, if there's a teacher that you recall who changed your life, affected you for the better, don't hesitate. See if there's a way to reach them and thank them. It'll make their day, and it's the right thing to do. So while there was justice in Massachusetts over three centuries too late, there were other things happening in the world. Just yesterday, as we record this, August 2nd, a gigantic sinkhole opened up in the country of Chile. This is 650 feet deep. It's
650 feet deep.
Yes.
Just looking at my 8-foot ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at the image that you can find on vice.com that shows a picture of the sinkhole and imagining that depth. And my mind is, it's just doing that a lot.
And shout out to Nathaniel Janowitz, who wrote this article over on Vice. Nathaniel did something that I always low-key enjoy in any U.S. publication. He said, okay, people aren't really going to get the metric system in this part of the world. So we can talk about feet, and we describe how wide it is. Why waste our time with meters? Just tell them it's the width of the White House.
Yeah.
Which is accurate.
And think how big the White House is.
82 feet diameter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That center bit. That's a big house. It's crazy to look at it from above in that way, the way that article does. And then again, it's just the depth. Like if that's 82 feet, the width of the White House, and then imagining just that that goes down way further than that. What did you say, Ben? What's the depth? What is that 200 meters equal to?
Yeah, that's about two soccer fields, right? 100 meters, which would be 656 feet or so. Yeah, the depth there is astonishing. It appears to be stable so far. This opened up near a copper mine that is owned by a company called Lundin Mining, L-U-N-D-I-N. They are a Canadian company. They operate throughout Latin America. And this happens a lot, you know, like many, many mining companies are based in countries other than the countries from which they're extracting resources. Pardon the word salad, but I think we all get the point. Lundin Mining said that when they detected this on this past Saturday, they isolated the area. They notified all the authorities. They said no injuries, no damage to equipment, property, or infrastructure, you know, other than the giant hole in the ground. And it's weird because they're saying that basically they're saying everything is fine. They're saying it looks stable. They detected a lot of water, but nothing else. And this is where we learn about the mayor of nearby town, Tierra Amarilla. The mayor's name is Cristobal Zuniga, and Cristobal is 25 years old, making him the youngest mayor in the country of Chile. And he's reporting something different. He's saying that there are daily blasts and strong tremors from the mine, and that they've destroyed houses and streets. And he said, when he tweeted about this, he said, today they destroyed the ground. So I'm thinking, without us being geological experts or being on the ground here, I'm thinking this sinkhole is probably a result of mining. I feel like that's a reasonable assumption to test.
Yeah, I think so. It's on an agricultural property, so like farmland of some sort or a range. It would make sense if there was some mining going on well beneath it and just dislodged the wrong parts of the earth. It is odd to see it so, it just looks so perfect. It's not a perfect circle. Yeah, but it does look photoshopped. Exactly. That TV show, Outer Range, that's exactly what it is. That's what it looks like.
It looks exactly like Outer Range. And of course, they delved too deep for the Lord of the Rings fans. So no note whether there's a Balrog there, but maybe there's a little bit of some sort of Newtonian interaction because far, far away from Chile, there was an eruption in Tonga, and another weird use of measurements, right? This was one of the most powerful volcanic eruptions on the planet, and it's an eruption that blasted, let me get the quote here, 58,000 Olympic pools worth of water into Earth's atmosphere. Now, Matt, some people are going to hear that, and they'll go, hang on, you just said eruption. It's obviously a volcano. What's with all the water? You know, like us just a second ago, they might be saying, we're not geological experts. We're not volcanologists. Mm-hmm. But volcanoes, water, something doesn't add up.
Yeah. Well, that's because it was under the water. It was beneath the water. And when it exploded down there, and you know, when it's under all of that water, we're talking, gosh, I don't even know the pressures involved here. Just with that amount of water on top of it, it exploded, shot all that stuff into the air. And there's footage from NASA, I believe from NOAA, from NOAA, where you can actually see the plume that it generated when it exploded beneath the water, shot that stuff, the vapor and all the water and debris into the air.
Yeah, the Tongahunga Ha'api volcano, it erupted. I'm playing with timeline here a little bit. It erupted earlier this year, so not this week, but people are just figuring out the effects it had. It put so much water vapor into the atmosphere that NASA is saying it's likely going to warm the Earth's surface. it's going to heat things up. This is like, if you are a fan of water parks, like our pal Jack over at TDZ, then you might love this, because that plume of water that you were just describing, Matt, that was high enough to reach the stratosphere.
Yeah.
The literal people aren't supposed to be here part of the atmosphere.
Yeah. Between 8 and 33 miles up. That's pretty high. Yeah, that is weird, because it did happen early this year. I remember when this one erupted, and I remember reading bits of it. Ben, we may have even mentioned it on Strange News at some point earlier this year. But it is odd to know that what effects that could have on the planet. You don't think water vapor that high up would do anything. It would just, it'll make some clouds, and it'll be heavy enough with enough moisture, because it is just so much moisture in there already, it would cause rainfall and we'd be done. But Ben, what if it has something to do with the crazy storms that have been going through lately for months now?
It's not an unfair question, man. I'm glad you're asking it, because, many people would reasonably say, well, hey, water in the air, it's better than all the other stuff that's in the air, right? It's better that it's just straight up water falling on us instead of other things, foreshadowing. But
water's good.
Right. If it's just water. But this makes sense when you think about it, because water in that level of the atmosphere can trap heat. And so the heat will just bounce back to the ground. This could stay in the stratosphere for several years, according to researchers. No one's sure how many years it could stay in, but because there's been added additional vapor, the latest studies, which just released this past month in July, Geophysical Research Letters, the latest study shows that this added water vapor, even if it sounds like a good thing, can also create chemical reactions that, quote, temporarily contribute to the depletion of Earth's protective ozone. So, yeah, you just can't win, is the point.
Nope.
that's not the point, hopefully, folks. But you nailed it, Matt. There may be unforeseen consequences for something like this, because this eruption was so big. And a lot of this news, because it doesn't have a celebrity face attached to it, a lot of it doesn't get attention, right? Or the due diligence it deserves. So we want to thank all of the scientists working around the clock to talk about this. I feel like maybe this is being too depressing. Do you want to do one last story? Might be some good news.
Oh yeah, let's do that, Ben. Something a little lighter.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody, if you like us, are a fan of things like chicken Kiev or breaded stuffed chicken, cheese or ham or whatever, then you will be glad to know that the U.S. government has intervened. Just a few days ago, as we record this, on Monday of this week, the Department of Agriculture said, hey, no more salmonella in that chicken.
But it was in there before?
I know it's I like to call these implication headlines. You know what I mean? It's like if you read some wild headline that said, Atlanta Zoo to stop feeding children to gorillas in exhibit.
When did that start happening?
I'm glad that they worked it out, but come on, guys. That's true. Previously, only E. coli strains were considered adulterants. And the Department of Agriculture recently said, okay, we're going to say that maybe salmonella in frozen breaded chicken products is bad.
Yeah, that's literally what this is. Ben, you shared an article from Consumer Reports, and this looks nuts to me. Brian Ronholm, who is Consumer Reports Director of Food Policy, was quoted in saying, this is a landmark step. It demonstrates that the USDA is serious about addressing salmonella and holding the industry accountable. Like, what? There were no salmonella standards? Okay, yeah. And it establishes a precedent that will allow the department to work on enforceable salmonella standards for all poultry products based on outbreak data. Because there's been, what, 14 salmonella outbreaks since 1998. This is at least according to the USDA. And look, that sounds like a lot.
And
it doesn't sound like a lot when they say only an estimated 200 people have become sick. But when you think about what salmonella can do to a person, depending on their age and, you know, their health, like it is potentially fatal, correct? So you've got to be really, really careful with this stuff, even though it has only sickened a small, relatively number of people.
That quote is fascinating too, because it's another implication quote, right? Instead of an implication headline. And this is not to ding Consumer Reports. This is not necessarily to ding the USDA, but they're trying to put a positive spin on that. And that last part got to me. You know, we're going to set a precedent. This salmonella stuff might be getting out of hand, which is nuts, because were we all playing Russian roulette every time we ate some chicken?
No, because this is very specific, Ben, and I didn't understand that when I first started reading this article. This is only regarding frozen, breaded, stuffed chicken breasts.
That's raw. It has to be
that
raw.
That is raw.
When it's frozen. Yes. Yeah. So they're like saying, hey, guys, salmonella is kind of dope, you know? Like, we don't want to say no salmonella ever. We just want to say that. If you like that, that is so specific that this is not the case, but it almost feels like something happened to someone who has pull at the USDA, right? And they called and they were like, look, I'm not trying to rock the boat, but something's got to be done.
Look, I would just say, as someone who has ordered a chicken sandwich at a very popular fast food joint and upon taking a bite, realized that the chicken was still almost frozen and cold and reddish pink on the inside. Whoa. When I bit into it. Mm-hmm. I am all for this implication quote and whatever the implication implies, because I don't want to experience that again. Everybody out there, cook your chicken to 165 degrees Fahrenheit and use a thermometer. Don't just touch it. Guess.
Welcome to the United States. We're trying to have less salmonella. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and then we're coming back with a big story. It's important, and it's going to, I think, help you understand what we said when we mentioned that rain might be foreshadowing.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today. And we're back. Is it raining where you are right now when you're listening to this? Are you in a car? Is there just water droplets? Are they just drenching the front of your car? You got your wipers on maybe? Or are you sitting next to your a window looking out and listening to the pitter-patter of that wonderful rain? Maybe you got a glass of water. Hey, you got a glass of water right now? Some ice in it, maybe? Mm-hmm. Just enjoying that stuff? Water is awesome. Man, it's great. And rain is cool, too. You remember being a kid running outside in the rain until the lightning got too close, right? Mm-hmm. You did that. Mm-hmm. I still do that sometimes, actually. But I'm a kid. But that's how it works. Well, y'all, we're not going to be doing that very much in the near future. We probably shouldn't be doing it now, and we probably shouldn't have been doing it for a while. That's because, according to Fizorg, BBC, a bunch of very intelligent people doing research, the rain is very, very, very dangerous for us now. Here's the article. It's from Fizorg. It was posted on August 2nd, 2022, here's the title. It's raining PFAS. Remember those? Those are forever chemicals. We've talked about them before. Even in Antarctica and on the Tibetan Plateau, rainwater is unsafe to drink. This is according to research from Stockholm University. There are at least researchers who were working out of Stockholm University. It was an article published in Environmental Science and Technology. And essentially, they are suggesting that all of the studying that we've been doing for, gosh, I don't know how many decades now we've been studying these forever chemicals, when we first started noticing that they're leaching into the environment, leaching into humans, into our products, our food, our water, all of that stuff. We've been studying them for a long time. And what these researchers have posited is that the levels of contamination across the globe of these forever chemicals has reached a new, quote, planetary boundary that has been exceeded. So I'm going to read you this quote. It's from the article. Quote, based on the latest United States guidelines for these forever chemicals in drinking water, rainwater everywhere should be judged unsafe to drink. Let's talk about what that means. Based on the U.S. standards for how much of these forever chemicals is allowed within drinking water for it to be safe for human consumption, all of the water that falls from the sky across the globe, including in those far-reaching places that were mentioned, Tibetan Plateau and Antarctica, it should be considered unsafe to open your mouth and let the rain come into your mouth and ingest it.
Mm-hmm. Which, as a codename Doc, and you and I were talking about off-air, it's going to be a game changer for rom-coms.
Yes, for sure. It's just really bad news for Spider-Man. I remember that scene. I hope you remember that scene too. That was a really good scene. The kiss in the rain is what I'm talking about. Okay, so this is terrifying to me, Ben. Just as I mentioned at the top, we've been talking about this stuff for a while, specifically about land and like water, waterways that were contaminated with this stuff. And then it was getting into farm animals, pets, and even into like well water that was being consumed by humans. And it was a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, thinking that it's just falling from the sky at levels that are, at least according to the US, unsafe for us to consume everywhere, like that feels like post-apocalyptic stuff to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's indicative of a larger problem. I guess for us to step back, for anybody who's confused about what PFAS are, and you describe it excellently, it's a group name. It's a group name for any number of chemicals. The acronym stands for one of two things, perfluoroalkyl or polyfluoroalkyl. So you're welcome. We're sticking with PFAS. This stuff is used in a bunch of things, from like fire suppressing foam to packaging in food you buy in the grocery store, carpets, nonstick pans, polishes, paints, you name it. The reason it's important to be concerned about this is not just it's not just like the danger of microplastics, right? Which the research is still ongoing on. It is known and proven that PFAS can cause developmental problems in infants. They can lower fertility. They can interfere with hormones, increase cholesterol levels, and of course, what does any dangerous chemical do? It can increase your risk of cancer. But I don't know. I was surprised when we were first reading about this, because way back when we were looking at PFAS a number of years ago on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, we had that conversation. We've had this iterations of this conversation so often. Who decides the safe limit? You know, my favorite example is boxes of cereal. There's some group of people who said, okay, this amount of rat poop is fine. We just got to be realistic. Let's call it the 2 scoops limit, that much rat poop. That's it. And over that, then it's a problem. This can sound cold, but governmental bodies have to think this way, because it's literally at this point impossible for them to get all of the PFAS out of the water system, out of the water cycle. I don't know about the rat poop. Maybe one person was just like, I don't know, I like a little kick, you know?
God, I like to live, I hope live, not.
Live on the edge with those Wheaties.
Let's talk about the regulations, because they differ from country to country, and different parts of the world, they're very, very different. If you go to reporting out of the BBC, they have an article you can find titled Pollution, Forever Chemicals in Rainwater Exceed Safe Levels. And they're a little specific about this, a little vague about this, but they are saying that this is only with regards to the U.S. regulations or the U.S. safety standards that are outlined. In Europe, parts of Europe, it's different. In the U.K., if you're out in the United Kingdom, the same level that was found, you know, across the earth that was dangerous according to U.S. levels is not dangerous according to the U.K. regulations. Mm. But they do exceed the European Union thresholds of safety. So it really just depends, Ben, as you said, on who decides what's safe and what's not.
I like a little salmonella. Let's not get rid of all the salmonella.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so here's the scary thing. There was a BBC investigation not long ago that looked at these same forever chemicals in drinking water, not in rainwater, the stuff that we think is natural coming from the sky, but the drinking water, the stuff that gets treated and goes into houses via pipes after going through massive, expensive water treatment plants. And they threw up a flag saying, hey, there's quite a bit more of this stuff in our drinking water than we expected. And it's going to be crazy expensive to get it out, because you have to upgrade each and every one of those water treatment centers with millions and millions of dollars in order to get this stuff out. And that's just, you know, we're talking about the UK there, but that's not, if you imagine it on a world scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much money it will cost to get these chemicals out of just the drinking water. That's not out of the environment itself, the soil that grows plants, the water sources that are fed to cattle and other animals that we consume, the water that we play in for recreation in lakes and rivers, in the ocean. This is it's a horrible crisis. And it doesn't even matter that 3M is the company that was originally creating Teflon and putting that out in the world, which is kind of, you know, what we talked about. I think the first time we talked about PFAS, even though they stopped manufacturing it, there are still 4,500 other compounds that are the same thing. There are these carbon chains that just stick around forever. And it's horrifying, and it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. So what has to happen now, like yesterday, is some kind of regulation has to stop these things from getting into a vast number of the consumer products that we use every day.
Yeah, agreed and well said. I mean, this also, for many of us in the crowd today, you're immediately thinking of your rainwater collection barrels, right? Mm-hmm. Should be. And in states that have not imposed laws against, or communities that have not imposed laws against collecting rainwater, which is a real
thing. Even the ones that have.
Yeah, just as ridiculous as it sounds, there is good news. You can filter many PFAS on the order of 90%+ from water, from tap water sources, from rainwater sources. You just need the right equipment to do so. So it's not a hopeless situation in the short term. It's just that I think we feel strongly on this show that everyone needs to be aware of what's going on. Because again, and this, and tell me if I'm harping on this too much, Matt, but again, the issue here is that with these really dangerous systemic problems, a lot of media outlets don't pay too much attention to them unless they have a celebrity face attached. And that is horrific, a lot of people, in my opinion.
Yeah. A lot of us, everyday human beings that consume news, we don't pay attention to it because it's not exciting. It's horrifying. And you don't want to look at that. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to get ready for bed thinking about the forever chemicals that are pitter-pattering on my roof. Like, that's horrifying to me. Or all the people who do rely on rainwater.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
Oh, and bottled water is not necessarily safe either, by the way. You know what I mean? Like,
if it's water that came from this planet, it's probably not safe.
It's sus. You need space water. Where's the moon water? It'll still be contaminated, but it'll have, you know, different space additives, charge extra. Shout out to Mos Def, by the way, for New World Water. I always think of that whenever we talk about this sort of stuff. Check out the song.
Yasin Bey.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, Mos Def, when he recorded that, Yasin Bey now. Matt, you've given us a lay of the land. Do you have recommendations for people? Do you have things folks should think about, especially if you are like us, someone given to playing in the rain, or you have kids or loved ones who do the same? Do you have any words of wisdom?
Yes. Go out there. You can find rain and water resistant clothing that has a ton of forever chemicals like built into it. So just wear the forever chemicals to make sure the other forever chemicals that are more free flowing don't enter your body in any way.
Okay. Yeah. So like dressing with the skin of a dead person during a rising of the undead.
Very similar to that. Yes.
I took it a weird direction, but I think it's personal.
No, I mean, you can look into filtration if you're nervous about your family. And of course, we have to add the caveat. There are several, let's say, organizations that will say they'll just hit this hammer as many times as they can. The science is still out on PFAS, and we don't know how dangerous they are and what levels are actually dangerous and how bad this is. I would just say, I don't want to run around yelling the sky is falling, but I think we've seen in the past what these things can do, the potential for damage and danger.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I don't want to be someone who doesn't go with the science or, you know, isn't paying attention and being skeptical about things. But there are enough experts in fields of science and regulators and intelligent people across the world that are throwing a flag up about this, that I think we really need to start paying attention and doing something.
Yeah. And by we mean everybody, not just here, yes, us here, stuff they don't want you to know, not just you, fellow conspiracy realists. Get the word out. You know, think about all the, think about the motivations of people who are trying to boohoo this sort of science or attack it. In question their sources of funding. Question it actively. Be proactive about that. Look at the case of lead contamination and all the things that it led to in the United States. There's a difference between saying, let's be cautious and objective, where is research to be done, and saying, hey, I'm part of a think tank. Don't worry about this and don't look at my funding page. You know what I mean? Those are real conspiracies that happen. Oil companies were part of them, large chemical manufacturers. One thing we know for sure, PFAS are not good. The conversation is about how bad they may be and in which ways they can be damaging. No one, absolutely no one is saying, this is absolutely fine. You know what I mean? And no one's saying that PFAS in your water are going to be a net benefit in any case.
No. But it's just enough that you'll be fine and you'll get that little soupçon of rat poop, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little on the edge. You know what I mean? I was so disappointed. Two scoops? It's scoops of raisins. Feel like I should have read the ingredient list.
These raisins have a real different texture today.
So you're going to see why these rodent jokes are funny to us later in the week for our listener mail segment. For now, we very much want to hear from you folks. We covered a lot of things. We touched on a lot of things with larger implications. Let us know your thoughts. We cannot wait to hear from you. We try to be easy to find online. Facebook, here's where it gets crazy. Are you on Instagram? The answer is yes, Conspiracy Stuff Show. What about YouTube? Got you there too. Just Conspiracy Stuff on YouTube. Stay tuned to that. Legally, we're required to say buy our book, which is available wherever you get books. If you don't like going online, you have a story to tell us, you don't want to sip the social meds, we have a couple of other ways for you to contact us.
Just pick up your phone and dial 1-833-STWYTK. You will hear Ben. You will hear our theme song. Then there will be a beep. Once that beep occurs, let us know what you want us to call you, your code name, if you will. You can make it up. It could be anything. Just go wild with it. And then you've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. At the end of that message, please include whether or not you give us permission to use your voice and name, the one you've given us, not your real name, on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in that 3 minute voice message, why not instead tell us whatever you want? You can send us anything, including attachments. I mean, we may not open the attachments. Ben might. Are you daring enough to do that? I don't know. I might be nervous about attachments.
I don't save anything for the swim back, Matt.
Oh, all right. So send whatever you got, and we will take everything. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high, and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.